Yeah, it's Memorial Day. And I promised a Memorial Day podcast, so here it is. It turns out this is a bit harder than I expected. I thought I'd be able to knock this out, especially knowing that my grandfather fought in the Battle of the Bulge. There he is, in World War II, with a little dog. Maybe that's at Heilbronn. Heilbronn, 1945. Norma Jean, that's my mom's name. Picture of my grandma on the back. Me when I was very much younger. And there's her name. Yeah, Heilbronn, 1945. Amazing. This is amazing. And it's Memorial Day, and I think that it's time for me to tell the story of that little artifact right there. Well, well, well. Memorial Day 2017. Yes, it is. Welcome, libertarian socialists and wannabes. Still having trouble with this podcast. And since this is going to be a podcast, that means it's mostly going to be audio, even though I do post video on Facebook. So this particular family artifact that I've been discussing, I think maybe I should describe it a little more in detail, in words, so that podcast listeners have a better idea of what I'm talking about here. This is a wooden box, I don't know, hand-carved. It says Heilbronn, 1945 on there. Norma Jean on one side, Annabelle on the other. As a kid, I spent a lot of time looking at this. I really did. And it's a cigarette box. And Heilbronn, 1945, is painted on the top, and that is prison camp in 1945 in Europe. And my grandfather fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and it's Memorial Day, so I feel like I should talk about my grandfather a little bit, you know, member of the Greatest Generation, and combatant in the Battle of the Bulge. His ideas about what it was to be an American, they still live in me. What he thought he was fighting for, it still lives in me. I am compelled to be there because of him. Right over my shoulder there, that's a flag from his casket at his funeral. And I am pretty sure that though it was not fun to go to Europe, it certainly was a thing that needed to be done. In his mind, though, I don't think he ever saw himself as a hero. He didn't talk too much about what happened in World War II, and much of what I'm about to say is perhaps implied between us, but I have to say it, I have to be here. Because of him, I have to be here. Because of what he went through, what he did, what he said and didn't say to me as a child, all come together right now, make me have to do what I do and say right now. I'm compelled to do and say what I'm about to do. Because my grandfather was damaged by war, in my opinion. was damaged by war. And when he came back and settled down in Napa, every single living creature was so precious to him. It was so obvious. And he became a volunteer fireman in Napa. And I could see always trying to do good in his mind was what he was put here for. What it meant to be a citizen, what it meant to be alive in America. If the fighting only meant the fighting in World War II, I mean, only meant that you had to come back here and fight even harder the long, dreary battle in the political arena for freedom. And that's really what he taught me. He really believed that. And Memorial Day is a day to honor these people who serve our country in battle, in war. Jefferson once said that the Tree of Liberty needed to be refreshed with the blood of patriots on occasion. Or periodically, I forget the quote exactly. Many have said that that justifies war, and I'm not sure. It could mean a lot of different things. And one of the things I think it means, and one of the things I think we lose with the drone war, is that when men and women die for a cause the United States puts them out there for. When men and women die for a cause, those of us, the civilians back home, we have a responsibility to look closely at why they died and whether it's justified. And every time we send men and women off to war without an actual formal declaration of war, as we have done ever since World War II, I don't know how that is justified. All of this machinery of war, all of this rhetoric of war, and yet no formal declaration of war ever since World War II. How can that be? How can that be? Now, my last podcast, I talked about the civilian-military divide in the United States, and it's real. And I tried to talk about the fact that it wasn't always that way, and in fact, the United States is built on the idea of the citizen soldier, not the professional soldier. And that the average American and the average enlisted person in the military actually had a lot in common, but that forces who have another different agenda obscure all of this that they actually have in common. And you're going to say that as a civilian I don't understand, and I'm going to say as a son of a 27-year veteran in the Navy and the grandson of a veteran Battle of the Bulge, I've certainly been touched by war. My family has. And those men have taught me things about war that aren't really that pretty. In fact, the thing that I got from my grandfather, or one of the things I got, was there was no glory in war. There was maybe glory for politicians and generals. There was no glory for the men and women fighting, the enlisted. There's no glory for them. It's just hell that they got to get through. Maybe it's a necessary evil that needs to be done, surely. So we have a formal declaration of war so we can all hash that out. That's why there's civilian oversight of the military. Civilian oversight of the military is important. But there's a real social contract there. The civilians are going to take care of the military. Especially the enlisted. Especially the enlisted. Not the professionals. The enlisted men and women. We as civilians, we have a responsibility to make sure we don't send them off to fight for something that we aren't sure about. Because war means killing other human beings in an industrial fashion. Without prejudice. The enemy must die. That is kind of the top of the agenda when you're fighting a war. And it's Memorial Day, and therefore it seems as good a time as any to talk about this. And I have to be here in front of you and do it. I owe it to him and everything that he suffered. I owe it to him to be here right now. So, that beautiful cigarette box, and it is beautiful. As a kid, I looked at that cigarette box a lot when I would sit in the living room and watch Johnny Carson, because we'd stay up late at my grandparents' house, my sister and I. Oh, and it was right there on the table, right next to him, right on the end table, on the end of the couch where he always sat, cat on his lap. I mean, it was right there. That was what he brought back from Europe, from World War II, was this cigarette box. And it was beautiful, the way it was varnished. And to hear the story about how it was made, it was amazing because it looked so professional, so good. And now when I look at it now, I see all this imperfection that, of course, has to be there, given the circumstances of its construction. I can see where a certain color of paint kind of ran out. When he's writing Annabelle, it's not the same as Norma Jean. Norma Jean has some shadowing that Annabelle didn't get, because apparently Annabelle was the second name, Annabelle being my grandfather's wife's name, and Norma Jean being my mother's name. So the person who constructed this was not my grandfather. It was a gift to him. And now it's still beautiful now with all the imperfection. Because the circumstances are so horrific, they have to be. Heilbronn, 1945, it's a prison on the Rhine after the Battle of the Bulge. And the person who makes this cigarette case is a German prisoner of war. And I don't know his name. The grandfather's name was Anthony Trigero. Anthony Richard Trigero. If any Germans happen to be listening and they know the story, I would like to know who made it. In any case, Heilbronn, 1945, a German prisoner of war, carved this. Apparently, the pieces of wood, I'm not sure if my grandfather gave them to him. The screws, one of the first things I looked at when I saw this, my mother gave it to me recently, and I looked at it closely. You know, were they little X's on those screws where you see the Phillips head? No, they were those straight screws. And I thought about, where could those screws have come from? Ammunition case, where did those screws come from? All these years they come down. 70 plus years. Geez Louise. And when I asked my grandfather about this thing, this cigarette box, little device. He said that he was nice to the German prisoner, kinda. Gosh, it was complicated how he said it. It's hard to even articulate it now. It was almost like he might be embarrassed, like someone might think it was treason that he gave the guy an extra crust of bread or something. I don't know exactly what transpired between the two men. Even when I was a teenager, he still didn't share the exact nature of the kindness that brought about this gift that he obviously cherished. Obviously. It was always on that end table right there next to him. So there's a very, very important lesson for me that he passed on without words. The Geneva Convention mattered. We opened up Guantanamo and we started imprisoning people and not even giving them Geneva Convention rights. No formal declaration of war and no Geneva Convention rights. I started to speak out and I started to spend money to oppose the Bush administration and to oppose these kinds of ideas, even though I was being told I don't understand, and I'm a civilian. But as I sit here now and I did then, there's nothing I can do. I'm my grandfather's grandson. This is the most cherished artifact that he brought back from that war. Was a gift from a prisoner of war, a German. Probably had been shooting at him just a month before Battle of the Bulge. Yeah, he was in the Battle of the Bulge. Well, I go into all that, I guess, but I'm not going to because this artifact is what matters. The German prisoner of war. The Geneva Convention matters. My grandfather's broken by the war. I can see he's broken by it. He's damaged by it. Maybe he's not broken. He's damaged by it. Forever damaged by it. And that means I am obligated. I have an obligation, right? To help the world understand what he taught me about humanity, what he needed to preserve his humanity out of that conflict. And he needed the United States to be the good guys. He needed the United States to honor the Geneva Convention. He needed that. I know that in a way that only grandson knows such things. So I know that any talk of torturing is wrong. It's just wrong. I know this in this core basic fiber of my being, because it is my being, right? My DNA came down from him. So, the United States is the good guys, and when you send people off to fight and to die for the nation, they gotta believe we're the good guys. We don't torture people. And tell me I don't understand because I'm a civilian. And I'm gonna explain to you what I do understand, not just from my grandfather, but also from my father. Man turned down battlefield commissions. Chief of the boat, not an officer. Not an officer. Dad's enlisted man. So, when you send the enlisted off, fight, they're going to have to kill. And that's understood. And what also is understood, if there's a need for torturing someone to get answers, it's immediate. The knowledge of about why it needs to be done is right there and immediate, and you do it. But you don't put it in the book. You don't ever put it in the book. Because the enlisted man needs civilization. He's fighting for civilization. And you can't put into the book the Army Field Manual Code of Conduct. No. Because then you give officers and people in suits back in Washington, D.C. the ability to order an enlisted person to torture somebody. Becomes an order. It's already an order you have to kill somebody. The Geneva Convention, treatment of prisoners of war, is a recognition of the hell that an enlisted person goes through in war. Torture will happen, and if it's wrong, then it'll be prosecuted. But those that are there at the moment when it needs to happen or not happen, they will make the judgment about whether or not they come home and say when something needs to be done about this. But it won't be officers and it won't be politicians back in Washington, D.C. making those calls. If you put it in the book, it will be. Right? So tell me that this civilian, he doesn't understand what it is to be an enlisted person. As a civilian, I understand I have a duty to protect the enlisted person's dignity and their humanity, and that they not ever have to ever suffer the order to torture somebody. Ever. And the spirit of my grandfather compels me to sit here and say it, and I'm most likely going to go to my grave believing it, no matter what happened. Even if sometime down the road I feel the need to torture somebody, I'm still not going to think that it should be written down. It should ever be encoded. Right? That's what freedom's about. That's what freedom's about. Memorial Day. I'm going to memorialize my grandfather. I'm going to sit here and tell you torture is wrong. We must honor the Geneva Convention. We should honor the Geneva Convention if we want to be considered on the good guy's side in the white hats. Once you give the power of torture to officers and politicians, boy, what left do you have? So, Poppy, man, I miss you. I wish you were here right now to see what the hell was going on. Men like you that speak out against this bullshit. Fear. It's fear that drives the desire to torture people and the desire to give the power to torture those that we think will protect us. Gosh darn it. Remember, people. On Memorial Day, let's remember Flight 93 too, because it wasn't the military, and it wasn't the government, and it wasn't the police who stopped the plane. It was the people, the citizen soldiers, who stopped that plane from killing the president. So, my goodness, this thing has traveled a long, long way. Get here, and a beat podcast about German prisoner of war carving this on the banks of the Rhine in 1945 to repay some kindness my grandfather gave him. It's so cool, too, how it works. It's kind of a up, look at that, you know. Look at that. I hand rolled that puppy. Like it was. Just like it was. What, 75 years ago almost? Goodness. Smoking cigarettes on the Rhine. What, did my grandfather share a cigarette or two with this German prisoner of war in Heilbronn? My grandfather have a ton of cigarettes because he liked to smoke his Sir Walter Raleigh's. Or were they hand rolled like this? I don't know. But it seems appropriate right now. That I should get myself a wooden match somewhere. I happen to have one right over here. A wooden match. So yeah. Right, I finish things off and spark this up, and you guys can listen to my son's rendition of the national anthem, because I'm sure that make my grandfather proud. I'm sure to hear him play the national anthem. I wonder, 75 years ago, 75 years ago, Poppy. An unnamed German prisoner of war. They share a hand-rolled cigarette. And my grandfather tells him about his wife and kid back home. Think about, what do you believe in? Why haven't we had a formal declaration of war in 75 years? Why don't we honor the Geneva Convention anymore? I think those things matter. Matter to my grandfather, that's for damn sure. For damn sure.